بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last week we had discussed two of the fundamental beliefs of the Nasara, of the Christians, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had refuted. One was the belief that Isa alayhi salam is God, Jesus is God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted this. And the second was the belief in the Trinity, that God consists of three persons, or rather three portions. And this also was refuted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدٍ, that there is no deity except one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And as we had mentioned last week, when it comes to these fundamental beliefs of Iman, what are known as the usul of deen, the fundamental beliefs, the principal beliefs of deen, ulama of Aqeedah have written that these beliefs of deen, of Iman, are all proven through common logic, through sound logic. In other words, the deen of Islam, the beliefs of Islam and Iman, when it relates to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to life after death, etc., then these are all aspects that appeal to a person's logic. A person of sound mind, sound understanding, will find himself naturally drawn to the deen of Iman, of Islam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now continues and further refutes these beliefs of the Nasara, of the Christians, by saying, مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, that Isa, the son of Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, is nothing more than a messenger. In other words, he cannot be elevated to the level of divinity. This of course does not in any way decrease the status of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. He is a Nabi, he is a messenger, great messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he should not be elevated beyond his status, beyond his level. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, Allah says, certainly many messengers have passed before him. In other words, this is appealing to the Nasara that you yourself acknowledge and understand that they were Anbiya, they were messengers who had come into this world, and Allah sent them to guide the people. They were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They preached the deen of Allah, and then they left this world. And you don't find it difficult to accept this, to understand this. So why is it now so difficult, so hard to understand that Isa is also a Nabi? He is also a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need for you to now elevate him and say that he is Allah himself. وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقًا, when it comes to his mother Maryam alayhi salam, then she was a truthful woman. Nothing more and nothing less than this. She was a truthful woman, a pious woman, a friend of Allah. But she was not a messenger, she was not divine, she was not, as you claim, the mother of God. And then, very beautifully, Allah proves, again, logically, that كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, Isa and Maryam, alayhi salam, would partake of food. They would consume and eat food. And this particular proof, or this statement, we find, the ulama of Aqeedah have written pages upon pages, just explaining this logical proof. What does it mean in a nutshell? That they would partake of food, this indicates that Isa and Maryam alayhim as-salam had the aspect or the quality of ihtiyaj, of dependence. When a person eats and drinks, this shows that he is dependent on food and drink. In order to quench his thirst, he needs that drink. In order to satiate his hunger, he needs the food. Therefore, when a person consumes food or he drinks, this shows that he is muhtaj, he is dependent in some way or the other. And a person who is muhtaj, who is dependent, who has this aspect of ihtiyaj, then this indicates or implies weakness. This person is not divine, because he is reliant, he is dependent on something external. So the fact that they would consume food, and of course, after consuming food, a person then needs to relieve himself, he needs to take out that waste from his body. So all of these are signs which indicate to this person not being divine. So Allah mentions just this one statement, but so much of meaning, such a deep meaning that is contained within it, that كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, they would partake of food. And then Allah says, أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنُ لَهُمُ الْآيَاتِ, look at how beautifully we explain the signs to them. In other words, this completely appeals to logic. There is no way that they can refute and deny this. But then more surprising, Allah says, ثُمَّ انظُرْ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ, look at how they are turned away. Despite us proving this to them, despite making it so clear, and despite them understanding it deep within their hearts, still they are turned away. They refuse to accept. They refuse to believe what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying to them. So Allah now rebukes them and says that قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفَعًا, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Are you going to worship other than Allah such things or such people who cannot harm you nor benefit you? In other words, they do not control your destiny. They are not in control of taqdeer. They are unable to assist you. They are unable to punish you. Wallahu huwa sami'ul alim. Allah is all-hearing, all-knowledgeable. So how is it that you are turning to those things that cannot benefit, cannot harm? Some ulama have said that this address was made to the Quraysh of Makkah, that after seeing how the Nasara had gone astray and their false belief, now you, O Quraysh of Makkah, are you going to worship the idols, those idols which you yourself have created, and they cannot, more than benefiting you or harming you, they cannot benefit or harm themselves. If somebody tries to harm them, if some dirt comes onto them, they are unable to protect themselves. So how is it, again, logically, that you can worship them and not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So like this, again, as we mentioned in the beginning, when it comes to these usul of deen, the fundamental beliefs of deen, of iman, of aqidah, then ulama have explained very clearly that these are all aspects that are proven through common logic, through sound logic. And therefore, that is why one mas'ala that is mentioned in the books of aqidah is regarding that person who is from an uncontacted tribe. Like we find commonly those tribes that are living in the middle of the forest, middle of the jungle. Nobody has come to them. They haven't heard of Islam. They haven't heard of Quran. No Nabi has come to them. So what is our belief with regard to them on the day of Qiyamah? What do they need to believe in? Of course, it's not fair to ask them to believe in the Quran. They haven't heard of it. Or to ask them to believe in the Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But ulama are very clear in this, that those tribes who have been uncontacted, no Nabi has come to them, it is still necessary for them to believe in one creator. They may not know his name, that his name is Allah, and they may not know details about Jannat, Jahannam, etc. But just purely using the logic and the minds Allah has given them, it is necessary for them to come to the conclusion that there is one creator. So again, this is something that is part of fitrah, part of a person's natural makeup, that he inclines to the belief and the understanding of one divine being, one creator. Allah give us correct understanding and belief. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.